How's everybody this morning? Awesome. I'm so glad Pastor asked me to share for the next 4 hours. I'm just kidding. I know it's three. Pulaski. I grew up saying Pulaski. When I hear Pulaski, it makes me laugh. So I think we're the only ones that get it right. Are you guys, is that it? But I will be honest, I was a little confused driving up here. Apparently, I drove through Mexico to get here. And then, you know, if there's one verse that you learn first when you're a young Christian, or probably the most popular verse in the Bible, is John 3:16. Most of us know that verse. We could probably say it, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believeth in him shall not... Yeah, I drove right through there, too. Even John 3:16 tells you not to go there. So yeah, I'm a little confused today, Pastor. I don't know what's happening. I'm also trying some new technology here, and with the help of Mitch, right? He's the one that knows how to do this technology stuff. I'm a little older. I'm going to try some things here. You can see on the screen here, it says a secret worth sharing. We're going to talk about a secret. Kind of teased this yesterday, and the key is, it's very simple. I'm a simple guy. Some of our older friends are saying, yeah, look at the way he's dressed. Well, here's the thing, friends. I'm so blessed to do what I do. I travel around the world. I share. I get to do comedy clubs. I get to do corporate events. My passion is when I can share my faith and the things that really make me tick. So thank you for allowing me to do that today. But I travel so much, I eventually just got rid of my apartment. I don't have an apartment anywhere. And I printed 7 t-shirts. I only own 7 t-shirts. You can. You think I'm kidding. She's like, that's why it said Saturday yesterday. Yeah. And you wouldn't believe the comments that I walk in an airport. Oh, you got the right one today. You got one for tomorrow. You know, does your underwear say that too? And of course, I'm like, no. It says July, August. I'm just serious. Come on. So we're gonna talk about a secret today. I'm going to give you just a very small bit of my story. I went to Lynn Court Wesleyan Church growing up. It's where I was saved. It's where I was baptized. So I am very passionately connected to upstate New York and the central New York district of the Wesleyan Church. So thank you. Being able to come around full circle and share up front is great. It's such a privilege for me. I was a kid, 14 years old. I was the MVP in 5 sports. I was going to a school across town for football. I was a drummer in a rock band. I had the long hair, remember that? You know, well, in the back anyways. It was short over here, like the mullet, you know, business up front, party in the back. I had that going on. I raced BMX bikes. I was that kid. I had a great relationship with my parents. They're amazing people. Straight-A student. And I was the president of the youth group, whatever that means, you know. But I would be asked to speak. And I remember thinking, this is true, the first time I was asked to speak, I was 14, to another youth group. And I was like thinking about it. I'm like, I went to Chambers Camp growing up, and I grew up in the church. If you grew up in the church, you know at youth camp, there'll be a guy up there, and he's like, you know, I was in a gang, you know, and I was in jail, you know, and my parents, you know, did this, and I was alcoholic, and then I found Jesus, right? So I was like, I gotta talk to another youth group? Man, I wish I was on heroin. I didn't have a good story, you know? And so this is how much I love my God for so many reasons, our God for so many reasons. And the first talk that I ever gave in my life was at a Wesleyan church, and it was entitled, You Don't Need a Tragedy to Have a Testimony. And the fact that, you know, as a youth, you know, I thought all that stuff. But isn't that cool? You know, we all have a testimony. And this mouth gave that story my first time I ever talked. You don't need a tragedy to have a testimony. Now I make my living being the tragedy guy. It's pretty cool. You know, that's our God. He's got a sense of humor. So when I was 14, I had a headache. I went into a coma. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. My parents took me to the hospital. I had, because that's where you go when you're in a coma. And I had brain surgery, and I lived in a wheelchair. Had to learn how to do everything like I was a baby. At 14, I had to learn how to talk, walk, eat, everything. All from what the doctors labeled the neurology report. Granted, it was 19, never mind. It said random bleeding from point X. For an unknown reason. Is this guy even a doctor? Come on. And that guy did surgery on me. My scar, you can see it here, is in the shape of a question mark. And I have a metal plate in my head. That freaks me out, because ever since then I can change my mind with a magnet.
You think that's great. What's all over the refrigerator? I get home, I'm like, man, I'm starving. No, I'm not. But the end result is I can't use half of my body. As you can see, I walk funny. You know, if we go dancing, you do the YMCA, I do the LOL, you know. So people would say I should look on the bright side. Whatever. I say look on the right side. I'll say look, you say on the right side. Ready? Look. So that's just a little bit of my story. But I was at this point in my life where God was my best friend. I was passionate about learning and trying to do what he wanted me to do. I had a great relationship with him. And then this happened to me. It didn't make sense. I'm like, God, I got lots of friends who are doing all these things and everything. How come they didn't lose their arm? You know, and it was frustrating to me. I can promise you I never got mad at God because that doesn't make sense to me. Because that assumes that you know something better than him. So I never got mad at him, but I didn't understand. I still, to this day, don't understand why God allowed this to happen to me. And here's the cool thing. If God was small enough to be understood, friends, he wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. You know what I mean? It's not our job to understand why he allows. There's a lot of terrible things that happen. He's perfect. None of that stuff is a mistake. God didn't like slip and then I got paralyzed. That's not what happened. I don't know. I know, it's crazy. So I still don't understand why God allowed this to happen, but I realize that it's simple, and I'm a simple guy. My job is not to understand that. My job is to trust him. If you were there yesterday, we talked about trust me, and that's our job, man, and I can focus on that. So I want to talk about this. So at 14, I had read the Bible a lot, and I was reading Paul. I love Paul, and, you know, God is so great for so many reasons. He takes a guy like Paul that was killing Christians to become the biggest proclaimer of the gospel other than Jesus. He wrote most of the New Testament. That's awesome. That's our God. He doesn't take the perfect pastor, whatever guy. He takes Paul, the guy that's killing his people, and makes him the one that writes most of the New Testament. I love that. So I'm reading in Philippians 4:13 is another verse that we have on keychains or bumper stickers, right? A lot of us could probably say that. I can do all things. Awesome. It's a powerful verse. Friends, I would encourage you to look at those verses and read around them, the context that they're in, because we know those, but we don't really see some of the other verses. My favorite verse in the Bible, Philippians 4:12, Paul is writing that to the Philippians, and he's talking about, he says, I have had everything, and have I had nothing. Now think about this. He's 14 years old, drooling on myself with my head shaved in a wheelchair, and I'm reading, I've had everything, and I've had nothing. I'm like, yeah, man. At 14, I'm not comparing my life to Paul's at all. By no means did I have the highs or the lows of Paul's. But at 14 years old, reading that in the scripture, that I have had everything and I've had nothing. I'm like, yeah, I can relate to that. And then Paul says this. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is that? There's a secret, and I've had everything, I've had nothing. And then I read, and Paul was in prison when he wrote that. And what was he in prison for? Doing everything right. Not right, but, you know, right. Doing everything the way God wanted him to do and proclaiming the gospel. He was thrown in prison. Before, when he was doing all the bad stuff, he had money, stature, fame. A chariot was probably a Lexus, you know. I mean, he... Then he starts following Jesus, doing what the Lord wants him to do, and he loses all of that stuff. He gets put in jail. He's beaten. He's eventually going to get his head cut off because he loves Jesus. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand that. I still don't understand that. But Paul is writing this. You got to hear this. He's writing this not in the everything stage. He's writing this in the nothing stage. And he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And he's in the nothing stage. So this has a lot of weight to me because I was kind of in my nothing stage, right? So I read this and I'm like, I want to know what the secret is. So I start pursuing Paul, because he doesn't say right after that, and the secret is this. He doesn't do that. So like, I can do all things. Great, but what's the secret, dude? I want to know the secret. So I start pursuing what the secret is, and I'm going to try this. Oh, you know what? You got to turn this on too. Can you come up here? No, it's good. I didn't turn it on. I literally didn't turn it on. Hey, it vibrated. That's good. All right. Okay, good. I'm going to try not to keep turning around. You don't need to see my backside. Philippians 4:12. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The secret of contentment is what Paul's talking about in the middle of all the storms. So I'm like, well, I need to know contentment. Contentment. I looked up the word contentment, and you can see what it says there, the state of being contented. That didn't help me. I'm like, I kind of want the secret, but I got to know what it means. So I looked up synonyms. Synonyms are fun words. I love cinnamons. I love speech. And the cinnamon scent, it's hard to say too. Synonyms of contentment. Look at this. We've got gladness, satisfaction, happiness, pleasure, gratification, and ease. Anybody like those words? Raise your hand if that feels like something you want to have. I love reading that just as refreshing, right? Paul says, friends, this is in the Bible, this is not Derekology, that we have a secret to those things. It's every time, every situation in your life, we have a secret to that stuff. And guess how much it costs? Zero. The price is paid. That's awesome. So I'm reading this as a 14-year-old kid, and I'm like, I want that secret. I'm like, I think I got it because I'm trying to do, you know, what's the secret? So I got more specific with it, and that's just a cute girl I wanted to put on the screen, you know. I'm single, you know, what can I say? And that's, I'll tell you what, that's not easy. Ladies, I love you. You're the God's greatest creation, no doubt in my mind, is the woman. But you tick me off. Because you all say the same thing. I can't find Mr. Right. Really? Sorry, that wasn't planned. That was. So I want to figure out what Paul, sorry. I'm like squirrel, you know. I want to figure out what Paul says the secret, but he doesn't say right after there, which now I love because it made me pursue. And I start reading Paul's writings, and I'm like, what is the secret and how? And he talks about a lot of things, but it became very clear to me what the secret is. And this verse here illustrates it. Galatians 5, verse 6. And I put B for a reason that you'll see. Have the children gone to children's church? Okay, I mean, I'm reading the Bible. I'm not going to do anything scary. I just... The first part says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. That's not what I want to talk about today, you know, or ever, really. I'll be honest with you. But you got to understand, when Paul was writing this, he was talking to a church, and it was funny, I was talking to a pastor this morning about the seats instead of pews, and a lot of churches are doing that. At this time, people in the church were doing exactly what we do now, you know, they're arguing about things like, do you dunk or do you sprinkle, you know, do you stand when you sing, do you do this, do you have pews or do you have, you know, carpet, do you, and they were arguing, and one of those things was circumcision. So this was Paul's way of saying, listen, friends, you're arguing about all the stuff that doesn't matter. That's what he said. So the biggest example at the time was circumcision. That's why Paul says this. But listen to the second part of this verse. Man, I love this. He says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through what? Love. This is you guys. Through what?
Love.
I can't hear you. Through what?
Love.
Love. Friends, that is the secret. That is Paul's secret. That is our secret to contentment in anything that's going on in your life. And I don't know your story, friends. I don't know what it's like to be divorced. I don't know what it's like to have a kid who's whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of things I don't understand. Sorry about the mic. You don't understand what it's like to be paralyzed. But that's okay. He does. And he's on your team. Man, and we have a secret. And that secret is simple. Simpler than only having 7 shirts. It's simple. It's love. So Paul says that, so I start pursuing. I want to have love. I want to be a guy that does love. But I also want to see what Jesus says about this, because he's Jesus, right? My favorite story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This is awesome. And you know this story. You've probably heard it 100 times. It's actually in the Bible 3 times. It's one of those stories that's in a lot of the Gospels. Jesus was revolutionary. He changed the thinking of everything. At the time when Jesus was a human being on earth, there was 613 laws that you had to keep, and each law had 2 parts. And there was these guys, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you guys know these stories, that kept all the laws. And they went to church, and they were right on time when they gave money. They made sure you saw that they were giving the money, and they were all about the rules. Do this, don't do that. Do this, wear this, don't that, say that. And they kept every one of those rules, but they wanted you to know that they kept all of it. And that was their goal, was to show how great they were. And Jesus, and these were the spiritual leaders. Paul was actually one of them. And Jesus comes along, and he doesn't do any of that. He's not saying, you got to do this, you have to, you can't smoke, you got to go, no rated R movies. He's not doing any of that stuff. He changes everything. And this really ticked these guys off, because Jesus is becoming popular, and he's given a message that's a secret, and it's very simple, and they hated it, and they wanted to kill him. So this sounds really weird in 2017, But their plan was, look, we'll get him in the public square, we'll ask him a question and trap him in his words. And when he says something, it'll be blasphemy, and we can arrest him and we can kill him. And that sounds stupid nowadays, but in his time, that's a good plan. So their plan was, look, there's 613 laws times two. And I'm not a math guy, you know. There's only three kinds of people in the world, people that are good at math and people that aren't. So, and now I know which one you are, I'm just saying. So there's all these laws. The Pharisees say, we're going to ask Jesus which law is the most important. Because check it out. He'll say, you know, 217B or whatever. And then we can say, yeah, but what about this one? That's blasphemy. We'll arrest him. We'll throw him in jail. We'll say that he did this and we'll kill him. Sounds stupid. But that was a great plan for these guys to kill Jesus. And that's what they wanted to do. It sounds like a great plan unless you're trying to trick Jesus. Right? You know what I mean? I love Jesus for so many reasons, but this story illustrates a bunch of them. So they do this, and they get in, they're like, teacher, master. They act like they're really interested. He knows what they're doing. Which of the laws is the greatest? Jesus doesn't hesitate, friends, and I love this. He doesn't hesitate. He says, you know, the greatest one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to actually read this for you right out of the Bible. I have a Bible on my iPhone, but it doesn't feel really spiritual to read that. From the Paul, you know what I mean, Pastor? You got to have a black one with a gold thing, and it's got red letters. You guys know only teachers and Jesus can write in red, right? So Jesus is getting trapped by these Pharisees, and they think they're tricking Jesus. He does not hesitate. Man, I love him for so many reasons. He doesn't waver or anything. He said, I'm going to read it. This is in Matthew chapter 22. It's also in Mark. The greatest, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So he just answered their question, and I can see them all like, they got nothing now, because that is a perfect answer, because our Jesus is so clever. He's perfect. He's smart. He knows what they're doing, and he's got the answer, and he keeps it simple. I love that. But this is Jesus is so cool for someone. And then right after that, same sentence, he goes, so they asked him for the greatest commandment. He goes, and the second one, they didn't even ask him for two. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is like, you're going to try to trick me? I'll give you two. He goes, the second one is what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So I love that. They're trying to trick him, and he spins it around so they keep their jaws on the floor, and then he gives them two. He doubles what they even asked for. He says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Now, friends, this is in red in the Bible. Raise your hand if you think the Bible's true. Anybody? Okay, cool. Then you believe this is true. This is Jesus' words. This is not Derekology. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Friends, listen to that. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All. It doesn't say most of what you got to do or on Sunday, this is what matters. These are Jesus' words in red. This is not Derekology. He says, love God, love your neighbor. That's it, man. That's it. I know that sounds weird to say, but this is Jesus talking. Listen to this. I'm going to try to do something. This. I got to look because this one I'm not sure. So the secret is what? Okay, one more time. You guys are like this. Oh, God. Oh, man. This is powerful, man. This is the secret that Paul talks about. Jesus says this is everything. So what is it? Friends, this is the secret. Love God, love your neighbor, that's it. This is my Jesus that I love for so many reasons that came here. He didn't have to be a human being. He's God. You guys know this. He was God, is God, and he chose. This is the biggest thing that makes me passionately follow him, is that he chose to be a human. When you're God, would you want to be a human? Would you want to sweat? Would you want to get mosquito bites? Would you want to be hungry? Would you want to get tempted? Would you want to feel frustrated? No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, you know, I'm God. That's cool. You guys, I love you, but, you know, good luck. You know, that's why I'm not God, you know. But because God, in the form of Jesus, chose to be a human being and felt all this crap that we feel, I know that he loves me and he understands me. There's nothing that you're dealing with that God himself, in the form of Jesus, didn't deal with. Doesn't that give you just peace and confidence to know that he loves you. He did it. He hungry. I'm hungry right now. You know, it's not a good feeling. He felt it way worse than me. I'm talking about, you know, 6 hours, not 6 days. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But he loves you, and he chose to do that. And then on top, he chose to die. He chose to live as a human and to die as a human because he loves you. Man, we are, and it's free to have connection to him. How could we not, right? This is the secret, friends. And Jesus, in his words, put it so simple. What is our job? It's our job to make sure that you go to Sunday and Wednesday service, and if there's an evening service, and the thing in the park. That's what we're supposed to do, right? No, guess what? Jesus doesn't say any of that. He says what? I can't get it back there. Love God, love your neighbor, that's it. Man, my sermon is done, okay? They're like, sweet, McDonald's, you know. No, but that's how simple it is, okay? This is Jesus talking. When we start getting frustrated about how do I, or I don't know if this is, here's what you got to do. Man, think about the thing that's going on in your life. Does it line up with loving God, loving your neighbor? If it doesn't, then it's not what Jesus calls us to do. If it does, you're there, man. And that's simple. I'm a simple guy, and I love that. And I'm telling you, friends, we're all dealing with stuff. This doesn't trivialize anything that's going on in your world, but it gives you a free pass to the secret that Paul says is good in any and every situation. And he wrote that in jail. His situation was worse than any of ours, I can tell you right now. I know our situations are tough, but he was going to get his head cut off for loving Jesus. I don't think that's going to happen today in Pulaski. Or anything, you know. So Paul says it, Jesus confirms it, love God, love your neighbor, that's it. That makes me so full of joy and peace, and I'm paralyzed. You know what? My job is to trust him, to love, that's it. And I can focus on that, and it really gives you peace, friends. When you trust that, you all raise your hand, you believe the Bible is true, it's there. And that's it. I'm not kidding, that's my sermon. I'm done today. But I have a microphone, so, and he's like, I almost just lost the love offering right there. I was just gonna. So here's what I thought. I want to share. So I want to be a guy that understands this. I want to be. I honestly pursue this. I want to be somebody that gets the secret is what?
Love.
In one word, the secret is love. Say it again. Love. That's the secret. So I want to know what that means. I want to understand it. I want to do it. I want to devour it. I want to give it. I want to breathe it. I want to know because I want to be a guy that gets it. The Bible says in John 10:10, it's another keychain verse, you know, I've come so that you'd have a life and have it what? Abundantly or full, depending on what church you went to. It doesn't say I've come so you can be a Christian and eventually you'll get to heaven, but it'll be kind of boring on earth. That's not what it says. No, that's how we live it sometimes, and that's horrible. Jesus said he came so we would have a full life. If something's full, friends, you can't. Look, so this cup is almost full. If I fill it, okay, that's full. I didn't even plan on doing this. I didn't know. This is pretty cool. All right, so that's the life that we're supposed to have. Can I add anything to it? No, look what happens. No, it was full. That's the life that Jesus wants us to have, full. You can't make it any better. And how much is it again? Oh, it's free. That's what he's giving us. And the secret is love. I'll clean that up later. That was fun. It just makes me so happy. And you have it, friends. It's free. It's all of ours. And I know there's tough stuff in our life. It doesn't mean that's going away. It doesn't mean, well, your life's going to be easy because you're a Christian. Look around. That's not going to happen. But you have joy. You have contentment in the middle of every situation. So what I wanted to do for the next 3 hours is, no, I just wanted to share with you some of my heroes that I think get this and show me how I can pursue being a guy that does this. So I want to quickly go through a few of these heroes and share some stories, because stories are what make us learn, right? So I'm going to share some stories with you. My first one, this is somebody who taught me how to permeate. I love verbs. I told you earlier, I like words. The word permeate, it just means like it's there. You know, if something permeates this room, then we all know it's there and you can feel it, you can smell it, you know, and that's a different sort of it. But you might be permeated right now. I don't know, you know. But if something permeates something, it's the presence is there. You guys get it, that word, right? So I love that word. So permeate service. My hero, Dorcas. I got to read this out of the church Bible, too, because it's so cool. This is a story you may or may not have heard, and it doesn't make you any more spiritual or whatever you heard about it. character in the Bible named Dorcas. That's already fun, you know. And here's what's so cool. She was a disciple. And I'm just going to read this out of the Bible so you know it's not just me talking. It says, in Joppa, this is Acts chapter 9, verse 36. In Joppa, that's a place where the ministry was happening, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Now, this is in parentheses in the Bible. I don't know, but I don't think this is anywhere else in the Bible to just say somebody's name and then in parentheses say the translation, but it does here. And this is just God's wisdom. I don't have any spiritual or theological reason why, but it's funny. It says, so there was a disciple named Tabitha, parentheses, which, when translated, is Dorcas. And that's it. And there's no reason why that's there. They just say, her name's really Dorcas. Isn't that awesome? You know, I mean, I don't have a reason why spiritually that that's in there, but I love it because I can say Dorcas in church. And that's really the reason I read this story the first time around, because I wanted to, who's Dorcas? That's awesome. I want to call that to people, you know. I didn't realize it'd be one of the greatest compliments you can ever see. So she's in the Bible. She's somebody that gets her name translated like nobody else. And she's got to be a big deal. She must have been a big preacher like Paul or something. So I'm going to read it. So let's see what it says about Dorcas in the Bible. Which translated as Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Okay, that's cool. So I can see that. Now it's going to give me two pages about how great Dorcas is, right? So it says she's always doing good and helping the poor. Next sentence. About that time, she became sick and died. That's Dorcas. She's in the Bible. God's wisdom allowed Dorcas to be one of the characters in the Bible. Translate her name from Tabitha to Dorcas. Tell us that she loved to help and serve the poor, and then she died. But in God's wisdom, this is in the Bible. I'd encourage you to read the story. All these stories are great, but Acts chapter 9. So it goes on to say she died. And then what happened was Peter was in this area doing ministry, and the people that were around Dorcas were so overwhelmed with her death that they ran. The Bible says they ran to find him. Like, you got to come right away. Dorcas, come right away. And he doesn't know who Dorcas is. He probably was like, Dorcas? Yeah, I'll come. You know, and Dorcas died. And Peter gets there, and he sees this overwhelming, permeating presence of a woman who did what? She served. The Bible tells us nothing else about her other than she helped the poor. That's what she did. And that's a big enough deal for her to be in the Bible. And check this out, for Peter to raise her from the dead. Who gets raised from the dead? Jesus, hello, Lazarus, and Dorcas. So this is a big deal, friends. What this message says to me in the Bible is if you're reading the Bible and there's somebody in there that's raised from the dead, I want to know about Jesus. I want to know about Lazarus. And I want to know about Dorcas. But I really didn't even ever hear this story until a few years ago, or remember it anyways. That's a big deal. So her presence in the Bible is vital. And why? Because she served. And the story goes on to talk about it, and the people, when Peter got there, it's such a visual thing for me. They were standing around showing Peter the robes that she had sewn for them. This is poor people in the town of Lydda. Look, she made me this. This is awesome. She gave me food when I was hungry, and they're so passionate because she permeated service. They had to tell Peter to the extent that he raised her from the dead. What I love about this, friends, my hero, Dorcas, wasn't a preacher. She wasn't the tallest person, the fastest person, the strongest person, the smartest person. What did she do? She permeated what? Service. You know who can do that? You. It's easy. There's a million opportunities every day to serve. And it's simple. Remember, I'm a simple guy. We can all do this. Dorcas taught me that I can permeate service. And it's a big enough deal that she's in the Bible. She was raised from the dead. I'm not telling you you're going to get raised from the dead. Don't go away saying, I'm going to go, you know, can I sign up for the table committee? I want to get raised from the dead. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it's a big deal to God, and it's in our Bible. And her job was to serve, and that was it. It's a huge deal, and we all can do it every day. I love that. So that's my hero, Dorcas. She taught me that I can permeate what? Service. What? Service. Awesome, man. Don't you hate when I do that? I make you say it like three times. So I want to introduce you to another hero. A hero of mine. This one's going to, it's not that box of cereal, but you'll get it in a minute. So this hero has taught me that I can wield, and the word, oops, it's not even up there yet. Sorry. Wield, I love that word too. Remember, I'm a word guy, right? Wield, when you think of wield, what do you think of? Anyone? Thank you. Yeah, that's what I think of. Like a sword. Wield is to like have something that you're about to use. You know, like a sword. You wield your sword, you're going to use it, and you got command of it. So I want to be a guy that wields generosity. And I learned this very vividly from a hero of mine named Alice that I want to tell you about. So, and you'll get the cereal in a minute. My family's a big cereal family. There was times growing up where that's all we had, you know, and sometimes it had water instead of milk, you know what I mean? You know, and it wasn't the fancy cereal, right? It was black and white and that big pillow that you get on the bottom. So we love cereal. So one of my sisters, there's four of us kids, 3 or 4 years ago, she was in Atlanta driving to here to visit my parents to Syracuse. So I went with her to help drive because I don't have a job. And her husband does, you know, so I love it. I'm no martyr. I love this trip. Four kids, minivan, me, my sister, and it's awesome. So we get these kids up at 4 o'clock, not even up. We just pick them up, put them in the van at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're in their pajamas. We drive until they start waking up. They start waking up. We're in Virginia somewhere. And they're like, we're hungry. And my sister's, so we're going to have cereal. Why not? We're just going to have fun. They're like, let's have a cereal picnic. And the kids are like, cereal picnic. This is going to be awesome. I was doing that. I'm like, cereal picnic. They were using two hands, but so we stop in, I think it was Christiansburg or Christiansville, Virginia. And we're going to find a grocery store. And we get out, and the only thing at this exit is a Dollar General. And it's not one of the good ones, you know what I'm saying? And the kids love Fruity Pebbles, so we're going to go, and we're going to buy Fruity Pebbles. They don't have Fruity Pebbles. What do they have? Fruity Bites. Does that not sound like something you get in the Amazon? I got the Fruity Bites, and killing me. So we buy a box, and that's the actual picture of the cereal. We have Fruity Bites, carton of milk, some plastic bowls and spoons, and we're going to go outside Dollar General at the picnic table. If you were there yesterday, you know that's a no-no, you know? But apparently they knew, too, because there was no picnic tables. We get outside, there was no tables, there was no chairs, there was nothing. But we don't care, because we're the tenants. So allow me to introduce you to my nephew, Charlie. Before you call Child Protective Services, look at the smile on his face, man. In his pajamas, eating a paper bowl of Fruity Bites under a grocery cart at Dollar General. There's a sentence that's probably never been said in any church in the history. Check out my niece, Kelly. We are having a blast, friend. Here's me and my... But look at my sister. She's like, all right, that's enough. Stop taking the pictures. I don't want... But look at the smiles, other than Katie. She's had enough. She's in the cart, you know. But I'm eating on a trash can. There's our carton of milk and everything. So this is what's awesome. I had no idea when this happened, but if you can see, there's a red minivan up there. That van pulls up. I had no idea when I took the selfie. I'm just trying to bug my sister because she's like, no more pictures, you know. That van pulls up and parks right in the front of the parking lot, and this woman gets out. I'm going to guess 70 years old. And she starts walking up to the door of the Dollar General. And she gives us money. She puts money in my sister's hand. I am embellishing none of this, I promise you. She wraps her hands around me. She's like, it's okay. I'm your friend. And my sister says, she's like, no, thank you, sweetie, it's okay. She's like, I'm your friend. My name's Alice. I'm your friend. It's okay. And she's giving her this money. And I am crying, you know, looking at this. And my sister's so sweet. She's got a great heart. She's like, oh, thank you. And I promise you, my sister's family has more money than sweet Alice did. I would bet a lot on that. But Alice is giving her this money and holding it in her hand, not letting her go. So I'm the big brother. I'm going to fix this, right? So I'm going to go over there. I'm going to tell her, hey, thank you. You're awesome, but we're good. So I get within 4 or 5 feet of my sister, and milk is pouring out of my nose. It's like... So I back up, and friends, here's the thing. When you choose to wield your generosity, remember, you can permeate service. Every one of us can do that. You know how many opportunities you have to wield generosity every day? I'd say 100 a day. And you don't need any money. Some people need a hug. Some people need a word. Some people need you not to say something you were about to say. There's a million ways that we can be generous. Think about right now, do me a favor, think about the most generous person you've ever met.
Okay? There's no way I can know who you're thinking about right now, but I would bet my life that that person is happy. You see that? That's not Derekology. That's a principle. That's a truth. We have an opportunity to use, to wield that generosity, and here's what happens. It gives you joy. It gives the person that you're being generous to joy, and it gives the world joy. When Alice made this decision to help this obviously homeless family, she had no idea that we would drive 300 miles more just laughing in tears, my sister and I. She had joy, though, to give us that money. I guarantee that gave her joy to help this homeless family. And then my sister and I have joy for 300 miles. We're dying laughing. We get to Pennsylvania somewhere, and the kids are like, what's so funny? They didn't even know that this all happened. And we tell them, and they're like, oh, that's cool. They're like, what are you going to do with it? And we decided as a family to take that money and give it to a guy in Pennsylvania that really needed it. We think. Maybe he's in Poughkeepsie right now, preaches at this crazy family in pajamas. But friends, I've told that story without exaggeration to over tens of thousands of people, and every one of them felt that joy that you felt hearing that story. Why? Because Alice made a split-second decision to wield what? Generosity. We all can do that every single day. It's a great way to access that secret of love that God provides us. Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. And you don't need money to wield generosity. Remember, keep it simple. So Alice taught me so much about that. Isn't that such a crazy family? I want to tell you about another hero of mine. This is Dahlia. Friends, we need to champion others, okay? Champion something means you celebrate it. That's where your energy is. We all say this, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Other people are more. We say that all the time, but to do it is difficult. Who taught you when you were a child how to be selfish? Nobody. We're like professionals right out of the gate, right? You know, who taught you how to smack your little brother when he's annoying? Nobody. We're really good at that stuff. But putting other people first, that's really the definition of love. You know, putting other people's needs in front of your own. So when you can champion others, you got it. You're getting it. You're doing it. This is my friend Dahlia. I met her. I did an event at an airport volunteer thing, whatever. I met her. I fell in love with this girl. She changed me. I can't explain to you what happened. I was doing a magic trick. She was my assistant. And for the next 2 hours in this party, they got to go meet Santa Claus and make cookies, get a backpack. She never went to see Santa Claus. She stayed with Crazy Derek. That's my name when I work with the kids. And for 2 hours, and something happened. I told her dad that day, I'm like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I want to be involved in this kid's life, you know. And something happened, and God blessed me with 346 days with this angel. She passed in 2014. But I spoke at her funeral, and friends, her mom's best friend, and this is way the other side of the tracks, southern Georgia. I'm not making this up. It was Butts County. You can Google it. That's where she lived. So country, redneck, you know, a lot of meth, all that kind of stuff. So these are the people that I was blessed to be able to work with for 346 days and spend time with this angel. At her funeral, at her casket, after the service in the cemetery, her mom's best friend was saved because she knew Dahlia was in heaven. She didn't want to not go. How awesome is that? So I prayed with her right on. It was a purple casket because Dahlia loved cat. Oh, my gosh. But I vowed that day that Dahlia's body transferred away from our earth, November 18th, 2014. But her legacy began that day. And I've shared stories of her around the world, and I always will. And she's taught me so much about what this champion others is. This kid, man, she was so unique in so many ways. But cancer and tragedies will give you a perspective that is beyond your years often. You guys know this if you've worked with kids that are dealing with things. She was 4 years old when I met her, but she had this sincerity, this love that I cannot explain to you. Like when, if you would give her something, your little kids are like, thank you, you know, and then they go play. She would look at you and she'd be like, thank you. You know, and like make sure you got it, that she was appreciated. That's at 4 years old. That doesn't make any sense to me. 5 years old, she was in the hospital. God blessed me with 346 days. Took her to Disney World, took her family to Disney World. They were crazy. I mean, don't tell them I told you that. But
But I mean, there's so many things. And she was spunky. She was awesome. There was times where it was really bad, times when she had energy. Her mom told me one time, she's driving with her parents and they drive by this trampoline. Someone had a trampoline. Mommy, can we get a trampoline? Her mom says, Dahlia, you know the doctor said that you can't jump around like that. She goes, I don't care what you say. I'll call Derek. He'll get me anything I want. I didn't buy her a trampoline. She was on at 10 o'clock at night with her dad watching TV, and a commercial comes on for Legoland in Florida, and she loves Legos, right? And it's this theme park and everything, and it shows a phone number and everything. Her dad says, 10 o'clock at night, 5 years old, she jumps off the couch, she lands on the floor. She's like, where's my phone? I got to call Derek. 3 days later, we were in Orlando. Isn't that awesome? So this is, but she had a love, friends, that I can't even begin to explain to you, but I'm going to tell you one quick story. She was so, a week before she passed, I was in the hospital with her, and at this point, she was in a lot of pain. Beautiful, perfect, flawless little body. I'm holding her hand at the side of her bed, and the nurse is over there. And Dahlia, she had this thing. I called her Little D. We always did the pinky swear. You know, I'll love you forever. This is my only tattoo. It says Little D. So she was, I was close to the end, clearly. And at this point, if you touched her body, it gave her such a shooting pain. Tumors were all over her body. And she, but friends, I know this is hard to believe, but she wouldn't cry. She would just, because she knew that it made you sad. 5 years old, she had that kind of champion for others. I don't understand that. I want to have that. But she wouldn't cry. Her lips quivering, so much pain. So this day, it was, again, a week before she passed, give or take. I'm holding her perfect little hand, and the nurse has to access her port, so she's got to roll her over. And Dahlia, she clamps down on my hand, and her lips, and she's in so much pain, friends, beyond anything you or I have ever felt. She's no tears. She won't let herself cry. And this hospital, she was famous for this. This is a giant hospital in Atlanta, and everybody knew this about her. And this nurse starts to cry because Dahlia's in this pain. Dahlia takes her perfect little hand and she reaches up and she puts it on that nurse's arm and she says, are you okay? I want that. I dream that I can love that way. Dahlia taught me so much. She can teach you so much, friends. Thank you. Champion others. That's perfect. Dahlia taught me this in a way that I'll never be able to learn any better or differently. She, in the middle of that pain, that torture, she was thinking of this nurse. What? She was five. She's supposed to think about candy. Why is this happening to me? Give me another stuffed animal, whatever. And that's what she did. I love you, Dahlia. I love the way that she taught me. Friends, the secret is love. We have direct, free access to it. If you can begin to learn to champion others, it'll change your world. And I'm telling you, love God, love your neighbor. That's it. That's the big picture. And that's what we're called to do. All right. We got to go. One more hero. I had 3 points, but I squeezed 2 heroes into the last one. Because I only have 2 hours left. So I told you I'm one of 4 kids. One of my sisters is one of these people, and you guys know somebody like this. She's awesome. She's beautiful, right? She's funny. She's successful. She owns her own business. She lights up a room. Everybody wants to know my sister, right? Like, my name to a lot of people is Julie's brother. Like, that's just it. But I'm cool with that because my sister is that cool. I love all 3 of my siblings, but Julie's amazing. So she's not here, but I'm going to introduce you to her via video. This is my awesome sister, Julie. Check this out.
Hi, my name is Julie Tennant.
Hey, I'm Julie Tennant.
Hi, I'm Julie Tennant.
Now back to you, Carrie.
I'm the kid around the family. I'm Julie Tennant, and I have Down syndrome, and I love my life. Down syndrome means I have an extra chromosome that nobody in my family has. My grandfather calls it a love chromosome. He said that when people make fun of me, it's because they are missing something, not me. God made me this way, and I know He loves me. I like having Down syndrome because it makes me different, and I like being unique. Down syndrome means slow to learn, and that's not bad as long as you are learning something. My dad is slow to learn at cooking, so he just orders pizza. I'd rather be slow to learn than slow to love.
I'd rather be slow to learn than slow to love.
I'm Julie. Wait a minute.
What's your name?
I'm Derek's sister, Julie Tennant.
No. I'm just Julie Tennant. Well, you're Julie Tennant.
I'm Julie Tennant.
And I'm her brother, Derek, and we
love our life.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. We're both handicapped, and I have Down syndrome. He's paralyzed, and we're both single.
Wait a minute.
I even love from you, but he doesn't.
Nobody has taught me more about loving my life than Julie. Tell them in the camera about your shirt.
Huh, that's easy. The statement I like to say is I love my life, so I thought I would make a shirt.
Oops, sorry.
Hi, my name is
Julie. Oh no, I'm sorry. We're gonna move on. She just talked about her t-shirt. She has a t-shirt company. I'm sorry, I hit the phone and that's horrible. We had to take a perfect moment and just... My sister Julie's amazing, man. She champions others. She gets it. She has an extra chromosome. Whatever. We're missing it. She has the love chromosome, friends. The secret is what? It's love. If you know anybody with Down syndrome, you know exactly what we're talking about. Her default is to love. Mine is to be selfish. Yours is probably to be selfish. Julie gets it. Friends, we've seen... I've introduced you to four of my heroes this morning. Remember, the secret is what? It's to love God, love others. That's it. That's Jesus' words, friends. It's so simple. We have direct access to contentment. You remember all those refreshing words? We have that for free. And the secret is love. Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. It's so simple. We have access to do that. And it's in your power to do that. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't even have to go to church. I'm glad you're here, but you have direct access to God who loves you, and it's free. Permeate service. You remember Dorcas? She taught us to permeate service. You remember Sweet Alice? She taught us to wield what? Generosity. And my angel, Dahlia, and my hero, sister, Julie, taught us that we should champion what? Others. Man, these are three great ways that you can use this direct, free access to the secret that is love. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, how are we supposed to remember? I don't even want to touch this now. I don't know what those three secrets and everything. Well, it's real simple. All you got to do is remember the name of your church, PWC. So now you can permeate what? Wield what? And champion what?
Others.
Friends, it's simple. It really is simple. We have direct free access to that. I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm taking a little more of your time, but thank you. And then we'll pray. This, my sister, that's, first of all, you can laugh at the 70s outfits and the hair and whatever. That's me up there. I'm glad you can't see my buck teeth from the... But my dad's reading a Bible story. Every night my dad would read a Bible story. There's four of us kids. That's Julie with the striped 70s shirt. And one day, Dad read the story of Noah's Ark. Friends, it's simple. We make it complicated. We're like, wait, can I do this? Do I have to go to this retreat? Do I have to do this? How many can I mind? Can I say this? Can I do it? Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. That's wisdom, okay? It's simple. Julie gets that. 3 years old, she got it. My dad reads Noah's Ark. He says, he reads questions afterwards, right? It was great. I love these times around the fireplace. Who made the giant boat? Julie. I know, Julie. Jesus! She was 3 years old, right? Dad reads another question. How many animals are on this giant boat? Julie. I know, Julie. Jesus! Friends, it's simple, okay? My mom, and Dad, I suggest have wisdom, but my mom actually said to my dad that day, "Oh, poor Julie. She thinks Jesus is the answer to everything." It's way more simple than you think, friends. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for a perfect, beautiful day. I thank you for a country where we have the freedom to talk to you, to talk about you, to gather like this. I thank you for a church that passionately loves you and a family that adopted me in the last couple of days. And I thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to love and be loved and to experience the secret that you give us absolutely for free in any and every situation. I thank you. I thank you for Dorcas. I thank you for Julie and Dahlia and all the ways, Alice, that you teach us that we can use this secret, God, and that it's absolutely free. I know there's a lot of crap going on in our lives, God, and I pray that you help us to see how your direct, free access to love gives us that secret and that peace. We love you. In your name, amen.
Father, thank you for anointing Derek, for giving him so much of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and allowing us that insight into the things that you have taught him through so much pain. And I pray now that we might be able to be a blessing to him. And I pray, Lord, that we would go out of these doors today and do exactly the three things that he has talked about. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.